bottom of page 104. Thence we sailed sadly on till the men were worn out with long and fruitless rowing, for there was no longer any wind to help them. 6 days, night and day, did we toil, and on the seventh day we reached the rocky stronghold of Lamus, Telepylus, the city of the Laestrygonians. Make sure you notice that name. It's spelled very strange. It is on your maps also. The Laestrygonians, where the shepherd who is driving in his sheep and goats to be milked salutes the one who is driving out his flock to feed, and this last answers the salute. In that country, a man who could do without sleep might earn double wages, one as a herdsman of cattle and another as a shepherd, for they work much the same by night as they do by day. When we reached the harbor, we found it landlocked under steep cliffs with a narrow entrance between two headlands. My captains took all the ships inside and made them fast close to one another, for there was never so much as a breath of wind inside, but it was always dead calm. I kept my own ship outside and moored it to a rock at the very end of the point. Then I climbed a high rock to reconnoiter. Remember we talked about the word reconnoiter? You remember it? Video game people, what does recon mean?
Scout.
Yeah, they're scouting, they're going to get the lay of the land, they're going to see what's going on. I climbed a high rock to reconnoiter, but could see no sign neither of man nor cattle, only some smoke rising from the ground. So I sent two of my company with another man to find out what sort of people the inhabitants were. Okay, and this is where we pause, remember, so that we could picture what this harbor looks like. So you have this tiny, narrow little entrance to the harbor. So imagine that it's these two desks, right? And then the harbor is nice and wide once you get through this narrow entrance. The narrow entrance is made of high cliffs, and inside the cliffs are so high that there's no wind. So they don't really feel the need to drop their anchors. Instead, the ships all tie themselves together. So one by one, they sail through the narrow little entrance, and then as they're all inside, they tie off together. So I want you to have a good, solid picture of that in your mind. The only ship that's not tied to the others is Odysseus's ship, and it's right outside the harbor tied to a rock. That will be important.
Why is it tied, or why is it outside the harbor?
Good question. Why is it outside? I mean, I know what's coming, so I don't want to tell you why.
Oh,
why do you guys imagine?
Because they don't want him. They don't want to think that he's like one of the people that
maybe it could be his arrogance.
They might, yeah, they may think he's.
Mm-hmm. It could be his arrogance. What else? What do you think, Preston?
Nobody understands anything on the ship.
Maybe he's protecting his own ship. We don't really know why at this point, but for some reason he decides that he's not going to put his ship in the harbor.
Ambush.
Spoiler, maybe. Someone's thinking ahead. The men, when they got on shore... Oh, wait, did I skip a line?
No,
I didn't. The men, when they got on shore, followed a level road by which the people draw their firewood from the mountains into the town, till presently they met a young woman who had come outside to fetch water, and who was a daughter to a Laestrygonian man named Antiphates. She was going to the fountain Artesia, from which the people bring in their water. And when my men had come close up to her, they asked her who the king of this country might be, and over what kind of people he ruled. So she directed them to her father's house. But when they got there, they found his wife to be a giant, as huge as a mountain, and they were horrified at the sight of her. She at once called her husband Antiphates from the place of assembly, and forthwith he set about killing my men. You have to understand the Laestrygonians are kind of like a cross between like an ogre and a giant. They're not friendly, happy people. So immediately this Antiphates guy starts killing all the men. He snatched up one of them and began to make his dinner off him, then and there. Does that sound like anyone else?
Cyclops.
The Cyclops, yeah. Whereon the other two ran back to the ships as fast as ever they could. But Antiphates raised a hue and cry after them, and thousands of sturdy Laestrygonians sprang up from every quarter. They were ogres, not men. They threw vast rocks at us from the cliffs, as though they had been mere stones. And I heard the horrid sound of the ships crunching up against one another, and the death cries of my men, as the Laestrygonians speared them like fishes and took them home to eat them. While they were thus killing my men within the harbor, I drew my sword, cut the cable of my own ship, and told my men to row with all their might if they too would not fare like the rest. So they laid out for their lives, and we were thankful enough when we got into open water, out of reach of the rocks they hurled at us. As for the others, there was not one of them left. So Austin's prediction was right. The guys who were all in the harbor tied to each other, did they have a chance? No. Laestrygonians come on the top of those huge cliffs, throw down rocks and spears, and basically pluck them like fish from the ocean. Odysseus is the only one who got away. So, remember we did a body count when we were in the Cyclops' cave? We started with how many ships? 12 or 13? And we're down to...
One.
So, Odysseus, again, thumbs up, thumbs down. Ouch. He just lost basically his entire army. He's left with the men on one ship. This is not looking so great for him right now. Thence we sailed sadly on, glad to have escaped death, though we had lost our comrades, and came to the Aeaean island, where Circe lives, a great and cunning goddess, who is sister to the magician Aeetes, for they are both children of the sun by Perse, who is daughter to Oceanus. We brought our ship into a safe harbor without a word, for some god guided us thither. And having landed, we lay there for 2 days and 2 nights, worn out in body and mind. When the morning of the third day came, I took my spear and my sword and went away from the ship to reconnoiter and see if I could discover signs of human handiwork or hear the sound of voices. Climbing to the top of a high lookout, I spied the smoke of Circe's house rising upwards amid a dense forest of trees. When I saw this, I doubted whether, having seen the smoke, top of page 106, I would not go on at once and find out more. But in the end, I deemed it best to go back to the ship, give the men their dinners, and send some of them instead of going myself. Is there a difference here this time in Odysseus' decision? Think what he's done at the Lotus Eaters, what he did at Ismarus, what he did with the Cyclops. Oh. Now this time he says, I deemed it best to go back to the ship, give the men their dinners, and send some of them. Is he acting any differently, do you think? Does he seem a little more cautious this time?
Well, he didn't ask for presents.
Not yet, at least. Very true, not yet, at least. When I had nearly gotten back to the ship, some god took pity upon my solitude and sent a fine antlered stag right into the middle of my path. He was coming down his pasture in the forest to drink of the river, for the heat of the sun drove him. And as he passed, I struck him in the middle of the back. The bronze point of the spear went clean through him, and he lay groaning in the dust until the life went out of him. Then I set my foot upon him, drew my spear from the wound, and laid it down. I also gathered rough grass and rushes and twisted them into a fathom or so of good stout rope, with which I bound the 4 feet of the noble creature together. Having so done, I hung him round my neck and walked back to the ship leaning upon my spear, for the stag was much too big for me to be able to carry him on my shoulder, steadying him with one hand. What does this tell us about Odysseus? Are there any hunters in here? No? No one in here hunts? Okay. When you go hunting and you kill a deer, do you just kind of like tie its legs together and hoist it up on your shoulders?
No. You usually get a four-wheel.
Okay, so what does this tell us about Odysseus? What does this tell us about Odysseus?
He's strong,
thank you. It was not supposed to be a trick question. I'm not a hunter, but I don't think you just like toss it up on your shoulders and take a hike. Okay, well this one is a, what did they say about it? A fine antlered stag, which means it's probably old if it has big antlers. It's probably a big dude. Okay. As I threw him down in front of the ship, I called the men and spoke cheeringly, man by man, to each of them. Look here, my friends, said I. We are not going to die so much before our time after all. And at any rate, we will not starve so long as we have gotten something to eat and drink on board. On this they uncovered their heads upon the seashore and admired the stag, for he was indeed a splendid fellow. Then, when they had feasted their eyes upon him sufficiently, they washed their hands and began to cook him for dinner.